to the name, only through the name of Jesus. And if you will hold on to that name in every situation, you will see victory. I'm so thankful to be with you today. I'm going to get right into the word, but I do want to say thank you to Brother and Sister Cole Thorpe and the Illinois District Board for the honor of being here. Thank you to Sister Rhonda Burke and the Illinois Ladies Committee for inviting me. It is a joy to be with Calvin and Cheryl and Shayla. I don't get to be with them very much, and they've kind of rescued me in the last 2 days. And it's an honor to be here with all of you. I don't know many of you, but you're my sisters. You're my sisters. And I'm about to say you're going to be my really good sisters because, y'all, the weather here is a lot cooler than it was last week in Louisiana. And it feels really, really good to be here. So very quickly, I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I know you have had some awesome services today. And last night, this whole week, I had intended to be with you. If you will keep us in your prayers, my husband's luggage did not arrive with us. It didn't arrive on the late flight last night. So he's out trying to find a suit to wear tonight in case it doesn't come in on the afternoon flight. The problem is he's 6'5". So I may just want to hang out here and not go back to the room. It's great to be with you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I press on." Today, I want to speak for a little bit on the power of motion. The power of motion. Lord, thank you for what we've already felt in this place. I ask you to cover this audience, cover my mind, cover my mouth. Speak in this place, Lord, today, and let your perfect will be done. And we will give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor because you alone deserve it. You alone deserve it. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Last February 2021, it was a Saturday morning, and it was about 2 weeks before our Louisiana Women's Conference. Adra, it's great to see you. Love you, my sweet friend. That Saturday morning, my husband's phone rang, and it was a call from a man that we know in Alexandria. We did not live in Alexandria at that time. And they were telling me that my mom had fallen down a flight of stairs. My mom is 83. And they were transporting her to the hospital. And thankfully, she had not broken a hip, did not require surgery or anything like that. But she had broken her pelvic bone. And in that case, there is no treatment other than to let it heal on its own. Subsequently, it's extremely painful because there's nothing they can do. And I was going to have to take her home from the hospital. I didn't think I could do it. I called my husband. He was an hour and a half away. He drove to help me. I mean, every step she took, every move she made, she would scream out in pain because it was so very painful. She didn't want to move. We got her home. Hilariously, she was in such pain that she didn't even want to walk, so she instructed my husband to go get her dolly. And we're going, "What? Get me the dolly." Now, I'm not talking about a doll baby, right? Okay. So we find her dolly, we roll it in there, and she says, "Put it under my feet." She was in so much pain. She let us roll her to her recliner on a dolly. If I had a picture of that, I would love it. Anyway, we got her through the weekend. We called her doctor. They sent home health. My mother had not moved the whole weekend, and when the nurse got there, the nurse was trying to get her up, trying to get her into some exercises, and my mother was basically saying, no, I'm not going to. And the nurse told her, she said, you have to move. You have to move. She said, I know it's painful, but it will be worse if you don't move. Movement is critical. There's a lot of things that happen physically when we don't move. There's metabolic and structural changes that happen in our body. Our endurance declines. There's a reduction in our blood volume. There's a rise in our heart rate when we don't keep moving, when we just sit and we're still. The bones and the muscles begin to waste away. They begin to atrophy and they gradually decline until you cannot even use them. That's why the elderly get weaker and weaker, because they're not moving like they did in the past. But how important is movement spiritually? Think of all the action words in Scripture. Strive, run, walk worthy, walk by faith, pursue, persevere, fight, finish. Now, I'm going to clarify where I'm coming from today. I know we used to sing a song entitled, I Shall Not Be Moved. And that is true. We should not be moved off of apostolic doctrine. Even Paul says, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I know Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I know the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. So I'm not talking about doing God's work for him. Okay? I'm also not talking about being the busiest person in the world. Busy is not a spiritual gift. I'm also not talking about flitting from one place to the next as fast as you can, being unsettled. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is movement, which accomplishes a purpose. Motion, which moves you in the right direction. What good is it if you're moving, but you're going backwards? I'm talking about tenacity that says quitting is not an option. There's too much at stake. That's what I'm talking about. So you've probably heard of Isaac Newton. In the late 1600s, he developed three laws of motion. And they describe the relationship between the motion of the object and the forces acting on it, and its motion in response to those forces. And you can find examples of all three of those laws of motion in Scripture. And that's what I'm going to give you today. First of all, David in 1 Samuel 17. Scripture tells us he left the sheep with a keeper and he went to bring food to his brothers. They were camped with King Saul's army, and he hears Goliath's challenge. And David says, who is this guy? How dare he challenge us? Is there not a cause? And Saul, King Saul, is on the sidelines and he hears David's response and he sends for David. And David tells Saul, I'll go fight this Philistine. And Saul says, no, you're not able. You're a little boy. You're too young. He's more experienced than you. Have you ever heard somebody tell you that when you're trying to do something for God? You're not in the right place. You're not from the right family. You don't have the right name. You don't have the right gifts, and on and on and on. And that's what Saul was saying to David. But then David begins to tell Saul his resume. Law of motion number one. A body at rest tends to stay at rest, and a body in motion tends to stay in motion. In other words, every object will remain at rest or motion unless compelled to change due to an external force. And unfortunately, some of us, we rest, and we rest, and we rest, and then a trial comes along, and we go into overdrive. We start praying, and we start fasting, and we start digging in the Word when we should have been in motion all along, right? So verse 34, David responds to Saul, and he says, wait a minute, Saul, I've been slaying some things. This isn't my first rodeo. That's what David is basically saying to Saul. I slayed a lion. I slayed a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. See, David's been in motion. This is nothing new to him. In fact, this challenge feels like nothing to him because of the fights he's already won. Because of David's previous victories, he has confidence that he will be victorious this time. See, when we fight, it's tiring and it's draining and it's exhausting. But you got to look at it as motion. It is motion that's building up momentum, that's preparing you for what is next. You just got to keep doing it. Every hard-fought victory is what propels us on to the next one. Notice that every time David had to slay something, it prepared him for the next assignment in his life. He's a shepherd boy, and he's slaying bears and lions. Then he's anointed king. He's a king in waiting. He slays a giant. Then he becomes a mighty warrior recognized by the entire nation of Israel. But he had to keep slaying some things. You see what I'm saying? You can't just sit around and do nothing and expect to be victorious when something hits you. You've got to be up every day slaying some things. You need to be in prayer before the battle comes. You need to be fasting before you need to fast. You need to be in the Word before you need a Word. Right? Every level will have something we have to slay in order to move to our next God-given mission. The key is you keep slaying. You keep moving. You keep praying. You keep doing what you know you've got to do. I want you to notice something else. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. I want you to notice something. Saul was content to sit on the sidelines watching while someone else lived out the same anointing. See, the problem with being content in resting, the problem with thinking, oh, nothing's going wrong, I don't have to pray, I don't have to fast, I don't have to get in the Word, the problem with that contentment with watching someone else function in their anointing, the problem with sitting on the sidelines is the longer you sit, the less you do. That's the law of motion. We've seen that in the last 2 years. I mean, think about it. School shut down, and before long, nobody wants to go to school. The economy, businesses can't get people to come to work because of, you know, unemployment, and it's been so long since people have had to work. I mean, even church, every single church, unless you're, maybe you're not like Louisiana. Okay, anyway, every single church has people who has not come back. You know why? Because you get used to resting. You get used to not being motion. And when you are resting like that, you're going to stay at rest. You cannot do that. You have to stay in motion. You keep moving. You keep serving. You keep loving. You keep praying. You've got to decide, I'm not going to sit by. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to slay something. People need someone interceding for them. This world needs Jesus. And you know, when I do have to face a giant, I want to be victorious. And I can't start when the giant hits me. I got to already be in motion. There was a lady in the Bible by the name of Rizpah, 2 Samuel 21. This was during David's reign. There was a famine for 3 years. So David prayed and he asked God about the famine. And the Lord told him, he said, it's because Saul and Saul's family murdered the Gibeonites. So David calls the Gibeonites and he says, how can I make amends? You know, obviously this isn't going well. And the Gibeonites said to David, give us 7 of Saul's sons. We will execute them. So he did. 2 of those sons were sons of Rizpah, because Rizpah was Saul's concubine. The Gibeonites executed them, hung them on a hill. And the Bible says at the beginning of barley harvest. So Rizpah, this mama, gets a cloth. She spreads it over a rock. And scripture says for the entire harvest season, that's 2 to 3 months, that mama stayed out there keeping the scavengers and the wild animals away from the bodies of those boys. Now, the reason this is significant is because burial was very important to the Jewish people. Many times the Bible refers to the fear of being left unburied. Some of the biblical biographies end with the account of the burial, or the proper burial was valuable and it showed respect. So this mama won't stop because her boys deserve better than this, than being hung up in a tree. Law of motion number two. When a constant force acts on a mass, it causes it to accelerate. To change momentum equal to the force. Okay? What that means is, if you push on something long enough, you cause it to accelerate. You cause it to move. You cause something to happen. Okay? So when David hears about what Rizpah is doing, and he inquires about why, she just wanted a proper burial for her boys. But look what happened. When David hears what's happening, he doesn't just give her what she wants. He goes and he gets Saul's bones. He gets Jonathan's bones. He was killed as much as 30 years before. He was buried somewhere else. He goes and gets their bones. He goes and gets the bones of all of those that had been executed by the Gibeonite. And then he orders all of them to be buried in the family tomb. Because one woman wouldn't quit. She doesn't just change the outcome for her boys. The entire family gets honored. Do you hear what I'm saying? Whether it's ministry, whether it's prayer, whether it's the word, whether it's what you believe, you can't stop. Because if your continual pushing will change things, you can change the outcome of whatever you're praying about. But you can't stop. Notice it's a constant force. He didn't just say it's a force. It says a constant force. That constant pushing, that constant prayer, that constant interceding for someone. The more you push against the enemy, the greater your miracle is going to be. Because you think you're praying just for one little situation, but God can take care of everything around that situation and accelerate it and answer you in a way that's bigger than you could ever even imagine. Because you don't give up. You're constantly pressing. You're saying, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. Media is going to help me right here if they'll give me that first picture. I would love to introduce you to my sister-in-law, Diane. Diane and her husband have one son. 22 years ago, he was a minister. He was a youth pastor in a church. And he decided he would walk away from God. Left God, left the church, even left his family. For 12 years. There were years, not days and months, there were years that Diane and Donald did not even hear from their son. Didn't even hear from him. She began to pray every day, every day. At one point in this struggle, she felt the Lord impressing her to go on extended fast. So she did one meal a day, and it ended up being a 70-day fast. She buried herself in the Word. This is their only child. They don't even know where he is. Buried herself in the Word. She clung to the promises of God. She kept pushing against the force of the enemy. And she would not stop. She would not give up for 12 years. If you'll give me picture number two. This is their son 10 years ago when he walked back into their home and said, I need help. You know, a lot of people think when prodigals come home, that's the end. Sometimes that's the beginning. There were addictions, there were family issues, there were attitudes, there were all kinds of things. It's been 10 years of restoration. But here's what I want you to know. During that time, before her son ever walked back through the door, she started getting phone calls from saints. She started getting phone calls from ministers, from pastors, from missionaries who had prodigals. And she began to minister to them. Her prodigal wasn't even home, and she began to minister to them. She kept praying, kept praying, kept praying. After 12 years of him being gone, and now after 10 years of him being home, if you'll show me picture number 3, they not only got their prodigal son restored, but Hope Ministry has begun in the UPC and now ministers to prodigals all over the world. There are hundreds and hundreds of prodigals who have come home because one woman said, I will not give up. You see, it started out, she wanted her son home. She just wanted her son home. But that constant force against the enemy didn't even know what he was up against. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He thinks he's got you because you're in a little situation. But what he does not know is that if you don't give up and if you keep pushing against that enemy and you keep that constant force on him, you're not just going to get your prayers answered. You're going to get other prayers answered. There's going to be more than you could ever even imagine because you don't quit. The stronger you fight, the more you pray, the taller you stand for righteousness. You're changing momentum. That's what you're doing. And it may not just be for you. It may be for untold people that you don't even know. I love how the New Living Translation describes the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. I love this. A widow of that city came to the judge repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. That's what it says. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them. Ladies, you don't give up after one prayer. You don't give up after one fast. You don't give up after one church service. You keep putting that pressure on the enemy. You keep coming up against him with constant force because that your momentum is going to change the landscape of your situation. Keep pushing. You don't have to accept what the enemy is trying to do in your life. Push back. Get mad. You know, if you have to get up today and say, not today, Satan, and then tomorrow you have to say it again, just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. You just never know. You just never know. Elijah. We're introduced to Elijah in 1 Kings 17, and then one miracle after another. I mean, just right after another. He's fed by the ravens. There's a widow with a handful of meal, and a little oil feeds him, and the meal and the oil don't fail. Then the widow's son gets sick and dies. Elijah stretches himself on the boy. The boy comes back to life. A little while later, he challenges the 450 prophets of Baal. He calls down fire from heaven. Then he goes to the top of Mount Carmel. He prays for rain. And then the servant sees a cloud, and they have to outrun the rain. And this guy is rocking it. Boy, he is just, he's going to be asked to speak general conference next. He is rocking it. And then 3 verses later, he slams into Jezebel. Law of motion number 3. For every action, there is an equal and opposite action. In other words, when one object pushes against another, the second object pushes back just as hard. So this mighty prophet comes against this mean, evil, fierce, and determined enemy. Jezebel sends word to Elijah. She says, I'm going to kill you just like you killed the false prophets, and I'm going to do it by tomorrow. So here's my question for you. Do you honestly think that the enemy is going to let you be victorious without a fight? See, we get all crazy when Satan is doing what Scripture tells us he does. We don't even realize it's because we must be doing something right. We must be winning some battles for him to be fighting so hard. Every action you take, there's going to be an opposite action. You know, I know this is not real spiritual, but I'll just tell you because it's the way I live. But, you know, you're trying to fast and somebody brings a carrot cake over. I mean, it must not have been God's will, right? You know, you're trying to get to church early and the baby has a blowout diaper all over themselves and you. You know, you're just trying to live for God. Hello? But that's what's happening spiritually. You're trying to live for God. Try it. Satan's trying to stop you. And it's a tale as old as time. God tells Moses to deliver Israel, but there's Pharaoh. The angel tells Mary she's going to have the Messiah, but then there's Herod. You think you're special? I didn't mean that to be disrespectful. That little spirit of Calvin Jean rose up in me. So Jezebel rises up against Elijah. And look what he does. Bible says he goes a day's journey into the wilderness and he sits down. Just what I've been telling you not to do, right? Here's what it says, 1 Kings 19:4. He requested for himself that he might die and said, "Oh, it's enough. I've had enough. Now, oh Lord, take away my life. I'm not any better than my fathers." And they think women are dramatic. So in essence, Elijah was saying, I'm not really anointed. Who was I to think I could be a prophet of God? That's what he was saying. So while he's sitting there and he's thinking that he needs to quit, an angel, now I need one of these angels. The angel comes, touches him and says, "Get up and go eat." Yeah, I'm feeling a witness over here. I need that kind of angel. So Elijah looks, and there's a cake, and there's some water. So he eats, and then what does he do? He lays down again. He's a slow learner, okay? So the angel has to come up and touch him again and say, "Get up and eat." But this time, he adds something to the message. He says, "There's a great journey ahead." The message here is, even when the forces come against you and you feel like getting, just going to bed, you feel like, "I'm done." You're not done. You're not done. Just because the enemy has risen up in your face, you're not done. When you face the opposition of the enemy, you have to push back harder. Just because you have experienced some resistance doesn't mean you're not doing something right. Just because the enemy has attacked doesn't mean you're not going to be victorious. And even when your flesh tells you to quit, it doesn't mean you're still not anointed and called. You just have to get up and go after it. Get up and go after it. Tell yourself, look at somebody, say, "I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep moving." Now, there are some things that do hinder our forward motion sometimes. There are some things that will fight to keep us from being victorious. And there's going to be some things we're going to have to overcome. Sometimes it's our past. Sometimes it's insecurity. Sometimes we compare ourselves with one another. Sometimes it's fear or procrastination. Sometimes it's people who misunderstand our anointing. There are a lot of things we're going to have to overcome. But you can't let that make you quit. You deal with it and you keep moving. My message is, stand up and slay. Keep moving. No matter if you're soaring, no matter if you're running, or if you're walking, or if you're just barely crawling, you keep moving. You keep moving. Our text said, press on. Jesus was teaching in Matthew 24, and he doesn't say, "He that finishes first shall be saved." He doesn't even say, "He that finishes in the top 5 or the top 20 shall be saved." He says, he that shall endure unto the end. Do you know what the word endure means? To remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. You don't even yield to the enemy. You don't quit. Two verses later from our text, Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize. There's a prize we're going after. There's a goal we're going after. No matter what happens down here, we're going after something. We're going after something. And I'm coming to a close, but I'm going to tell you a little story first. Musicians, you can come to kind of fake them out and think I'm done. I graduated from high school, and I was having this debate about whether I was supposed to go to college or Bible school, and I didn't know what to do. I got some counsel from my grandfather and my parents, and I just decided I would go to stay there at home and go to secular college. And midway through my junior year, I fell in love, and I got married. And my husband was in Bible school out of state. And when I looked to try to transfer my credits so that I could finish and graduate, I was going to lose too many credits. So I decided that I would work until he graduated, and then I'd go back and finish. And my parents kept saying, you can't quit. You got to finish school. You got to finish school. Well, my husband graduated from Bible school. We took our first church position in Baton Rouge, and then I found out I was expecting our first child. No college, so I had my first child. We were young parents. We had a new job at the church, which translates to we had very little time and even less money. That's what that means. And I kept thinking to myself, these years are passing, and I've got to finish college. I've got to finish. So in the middle of all that, I decided to take one night class at LSU just to put one foot in front of the other and try to finish. Well, I did that. Then my husband got a call. We ended up moving to Shreveport to be a youth pastor and work in their school there. So they had an LSU in Shreveport, so I enrolled and I started taking classes. We're still young parents. We're moving. We're working in ministry. I'm a full-time student. I had very little money. I was working three jobs, and it just felt like I was never going to finish. But I kept at it. Kept going. Finally, over 9 years after graduating high school, I was in my last semester in college. And I was in my last exam, and I finished. And the thing about the college there is when you drive on the campus, it has this circle that goes around all the campus. You drive on, and then the circle takes you wherever you want to go. You could just stay on that forever and just keep going. So I finished that last final, like over 9 years after I started. I thought I'd never finish. I went outside, got in my car, and I usually try to be real dignified. But I got in my car, and I pulled out and got on that circle, and right as I got on that circle, just something overcame me. I rolled my window down, I stuck my head out, and screamed at the top of my lungs all the way around that circle. The entire campus, with my head hanging out of the car, screaming. I was so thankful that I had not quit. Ladies, there's going to come a day when we're going to step across onto streets of gold. And what I felt finishing school is nothing compared to what it's going to feel like when we realize I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I kept pressing. I kept pressing. Every temptation you resist is going to be so worth it. Every time you had to fight a giant, it's going to be worth it. When you keep going and you don't quit, it is going to be worth it. There is nothing that can even compare to what that is going to feel like. When we look at the face of Jesus Christ and realize I'm You know, you can remain standing. In the passage of our text, Paul had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. He was in prison. But he said, I press on. I press on. There's nothing we will face in this earth that is worth quitting over. There's nothing. And I'll be honest with you. When Sister Rhonda called me and asked me to speak today, normally the Lord almost instantly just kind of quickens to me what I'm supposed to speak. And he did for this, and I kept second guessing him. I literally have two other messages prepared in case I chickened out today. But finally in prayer, I realized there must be a reason for this message. Somebody has gotten weary because fighting is hard. Maybe somebody in here hasn't seen your prayers answered and you wonder if God even hears you. But I came to tell you that if you stop now, you're just going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. It's not the time to back down. You've got to stay strong. Power comes when you do not yield to the enemy. You keep moving and you keep praying and you keep fighting. So I don't know how you normally end, but here's what I wanted you to do. I want you to come to the front, not because it says I'm about to give up, but because it's a statement that God, I am renewing again, that I will not quit. Do you want to tell him that? Do you want to say, God, I'm not giving up. I am not giving up. I'm not quitting. You've got some victories for me down the road. You've got some victories for me up ahead. And I've got to slay the lion today so that next week I can slay the giant. See, he doesn't just know where you are right now. He knows where you're going to be next week. He knows where you're going to be next month. And he knows that if you will fight today, you will be able to be victorious next week. Why don't you tell him, God, I'm in this. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not giving up. I'm not standing back. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep pushing. And when Satan comes against me, I'm standing up and I'm saying, not today, buddy. Not today, buddy. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care how big it looks. I don't care if it's a child that you haven't seen in years. God knows right where that child is. And God loves that child more than you do. Do you hear me? He wants you to make it more than you want to make it. Those things you've been praying about, you can't give up. You can't give up. Come on, tell him. Say, God, I'm in this. Make a fresh commitment. I'm in this for the long haul. I refuse to back down. I'm going to keep moving. Come on, I'm going to keep moving. Tell him.
That is who you are.
He keeps every promise, ladies. You just can't quit. Keep moving. Press on.
Light in the darkness, my God.
You don't even know what's around the corner. You don't even know what he's got for you tomorrow. You don't know how close you are to an answered prayer. You just got to make up your mind. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. For somebody around you. You don't know what somebody else is going through.